Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And this is week four of our four-week series as we read the book of Judges together as a community. Y'all, here's what we're going to say about this episode. First of all, our guest is Tony Calabrese. He's a lead pastor at Church of the City in Spring Hill, Tennessee. So kind of a neighbor of ours. He actually came in person, which I was really grateful for. Mm-hmm. These last five chapters of the book of Judges, I want to say something to you about them, but I want this thing that I say to you to draw you into it and to not turn you away. These are five very difficult chapters in Scripture. Arguably some of the hardest chapters in Scripture, some of the most graphic. And so Amanda and I felt that it might be helpful to offer some sort of a trauma warning because the Scripture itself describes some really, really hard things. Now, we don't read those Scriptures in this episode, but we do discuss them. And here's what I want to say. We are going to discuss these in a way, I think that you would hopefully come to expect this from us, in a way that shows how good God is and how He takes the darkest things in Scripture and redeems them repeatedly over and over again in different ways through history. I won't say any more than that, but I am thankful for our guest, Tony, who really pastored us through this, and I think will pastor y'all through this episode. I would highly encourage you to listen, and I would highly encourage you, if you can, to read these chapters, because it's important as believers for us to know what Scripture says, and so that includes these five chapters, and I think that you will come away finding that it was not wasted time. Beyond that, and before we get to the episode, I want to let you guys know that we have a little podcast exclusive offer for subscriptions right now. You guys know that we are about to start the books of Give Thanks. Then we're going to start Advent, and then we're going to go into Everything New and the People of Remembrance. We have a lot of really beautiful, awesome studies coming along the way. And as you know, we want you to join us for those. So if you are not yet a subscriber to our daily reading guides, let's make it official. Go ahead and go to shopshereadstruth.com/subscribe. And if you add a subscription to your cart and use the code SubscribeNewYears, that's SubscribeNewYears with an S, it's going to give you $5 off your first month, and it's going to give you those books that you're looking forward to very much. You're going to get Advent, you're going to get Everything New, People of Remembrance, and that's going to carry you into Lent and into 2024. Y'all, I'll get us to our episode. Use that code until November 12th, SubscribeNewYears at shopshereadstruth.com/subscribe. And now, let's get to this exceptional episode. So, Tony, how do we pronounce your last name?
Calabrese.
Calabrese?
Yes.
Okay. Is it Italian?
Salad? It is Italian.
Yeah, like a caprese. There you go.
Yeah, if you want to be authentically Italian, you have to say Calabrese.
Okay, great. Great. And yeah. What region is that?
So, my grandfather's side is from Naples, and then my grandmother,
Naples.
Sicily.
Okay, so do you have any of that good cooking recipe, anything that has like trickled down into your family?
So what's carried on through the generations is my grandma's sauce. We still make it. So it's, I'll be honest, it's as close can be. It's like 95% accurate to the original recipe.
95% ain't bad.
And it's taken years for my wife to kind of tweak and dial in and to get it right where it needs to be. Consistency and flavor and aroma. And
is your wife Italian?
She's not.
Okay, so she's working hard to get this.
She is.
I appreciate that about her.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So it's a noble task when she's up for it and I'm feeling, hey, we should
dial
in some Anani sauce. She's all right, just give me about a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a serious undertaking.
It is.
That just delights me to no end.
I was about to ask a question that may be a taboo question. Do you ever can it and like save it, or is that a big no-no? And like,
well, we will make a big old batch, and we'll typically give it away to people.
Okay,
so
it's fresh.
While it's fresh, our family will eat it.
Heads up, the Calabrese family is making sauce this week.
That's right, and then we'll freeze some.
Okay, there we go.
And we'll save it for a rainy day.
Yeah.
Because it's only a couple times a year because it's a whole process.
Okay.
Even the meatballs, it's a whole thing.
I
And we're foodies. And yeah. So we really appreciate laboring over something like an Italian sauce. So.
I was telling Amanda a couple episodes ago, we had a bonus episode. We were talking about all the things that we've been up to kind of us affiliating those with the beauty, goodness, and truth around us. Mm. But I was telling her about reading Stanley Tucci's Taste, his book. And in that book, he, of course, has a lot of similarly strong feelings about sauce and pasta and that kind of thing. But he really mounts an extremely high horse when it comes to shapes of pasta and types of sauce that you can put with them.
Yeah.
Just depending on how, if they're twisted or have texture need to carry the sauce versus a thinner pasta that would be what do you have those similarly strong feelings?
We tend to have a lot more grace in the house, but when we
we have grace for your pasta.
Right. That's right. But when we leave the house and we want something authentic, it's a pretty high bar.
Okay.
So, yeah, not quite into that at home. But
y'all, when I tell you that it has never crossed my mind how a noodle carries a sauce, I mean it. It has never crossed my mind.
Welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast, where we really dig into the Italian cooking and the high horses affiliated
with it. It's deeply spiritual.
I think spinoff podcast might be coming.
Yeah.
So this is week 4 of 4 of our Judges series. We have been reading through the book of Judges. Mm-hmm. And we finish the book this week. If you guys are listening to this on the day that it releases, today's reading starts at Judges 17. Mm-hmm. And we have, 21 chapters? Right at the end here. And highly recommend. I mean, I'm just trying to think of a way to summarize where we've been so far. Yeah. That feels like a tall order.
I'm grateful, Tony, to have a pastor kind of joining us as a guest for this final episode. I especially love having pastors join us, either for a first or a last, and also in between. Just I'm so grateful to the Lord for the pastors. But truly to, as we conclude this book of the Bible, to have your perspective, not just as a pastor, though, as, a man who is following the Lord and seeking Him in His Word. What's your relationship with the book of Judges?
Yeah, that's good. It was probably about 9 years ago. I know it's a long time ago, where I was just going through my own personal devotional time, and I finished, all of the first 5 books, then Joshua, and Joshua's kind of this victorious book. And then all of a sudden, there's this whole new chapter in the story of God. And so I came to Judges. I was like, all right, well, let's dive in. And so I did that personally for me.
Okay, wow.
And I journeyed, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I mean, I'll be honest, it just kept getting darker and darker.
It does.
And worse and worse. And that's kind of where the last 5 chapters leave us. But
that's where this finds us.
Yeah, my personal devotional connection with the book of Judges. As a pastor, you'll preach on the Judges chapter 6 and Gideon and, Samson and Delilah for the youth
for
pastors.
For a character study.
And you've got Deborah and
JL.
You don't really find, you don't really find a lot being shared from a preaching standpoint in the last
17
Five,
on.
Yeah. So
I think that's valid. But we've said every week as we've agreed, it's gotten a little darker and a little, when we didn't think it could get any darker, it's gotten darker.
Yeah.
And this week is going to stand up to that. But I think that we've just continued to find gratitude that these chapters of scripture, it's not like the gratitude that this happened, but that we have the record of God at work in the darkest period in Israel's history.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it's it becomes proof text for us that He's at work in the darkest periods of our history or our lives or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's still there.
Yep.
And He's still the same and He's still faithful. And to see that contrast, sometimes when everybody's doing a great job, so to speak, and God remains faithful.
Yeah.
It's no less miraculous, but it's sometimes harder to see that, to see it, to see God's steady faithfulness. But
it's
when you
easier to forget God,
it's easier to forget God when things are doing well. But then we see, hence Amanda's pointing to the cover of the book, the tragedy of forgetting God, and when we have forgotten God, or in the case of people of Israel, tragedy is the right word for the
100%. And I think it is a proof text, like you said, for a couple of things. And I think, too, you get to the end of the book of Judges, and there's this longing. Because it doesn't really, from a certain perspective, it doesn't really end great, the book of Judges.
Right.
And so it creates this mourning, but also longing for a true judge and a true rescuer. So I think, one, it sees the tragedy of when a society has God absent. Mm-hmm. But I think as for the follower of Jesus, in kind of a mysterious way, sometimes we can't appreciate his presence unless we are in touch with his absence. Mm. And I think in a way, it stirs a longing in us and our need to want to be remembering God and keeping him connected in our hearts, in our lives, on a daily basis, in the midst of the world that we live in.
That's right.
And
that's
so, yeah, it's a tragedy, but I think it points the way. I think sorrowful tragedy in the book of Judges points to the longing for a surprising triumph that ultimately comes.
That's good.
In Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like one of the steady absences that has, like, that takes place over the course of this book that was steadily present in the earlier books of the Old Testament are this, like, seeking the Lord and interacting with the Lord, hearing from him, like, receiving a command, go and do, like, this victory is yours, Gideon, you know, like, and by the time we get here, I kept, like, checking to see if I had missed it or, like, but all of these things that they're doing, there was no seeking the Lord. There was no, and the Lord commanded them to do this. But the absence of seeking God, it's exactly what we're saying. Yep. Like that, just forgetting to go to him, forgetting to hear him, forgetting what his voice sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
It's odd to me because when you said, Tony, that like this is when a society or a people has God absent, what's interesting when we start this week's reading is they're looking for something to worship. Like people are still worshiping.
Yeah.
They're just not worshiping the Lord. They're not worshiping Yahweh. And so this story in Judges 17 of a man from Ephraim named Micah.
Not the prophet Micah.
Right. Correct. Correct.
Good distinction.
Good distinction. Mm-hmm.
That, first of all, there's this, you know, weird interaction with his mom where, like, he stole from his mom and then he gave it back and was like, I stole this. And she had cursed him, whoever stole it, which ended up being him. So then she's like, oh, my bad. Like, no, I bless you, trying to cancel out the curse. Mm-hmm. And so there's this strange interaction. But the most shocking thing that happens is that Micah makes a household idol in his home and then installs one of his sons to be the priest. Like he's creating his whole like system of worship here, just going rogue.
Yep.
And like, I'm going to make my own idol.
Like
we're going to worship
it. Made an ephod for the guy?
Or? Made him an ephod because why not?
Be my priest.
Yes.
Right.
My personal priest.
Yeah.
And then,
and
then later like upgrades, but it's just like, you know, to a Levite at least, but still, we're still wrong
upgrades
here.
To a Levite. Who, like, what is this Levite doing? Being like, yeah, I'll take the job.
I'm getting ahead of us, but
let me talk us through that first narrative.
Yeah, so chapter 17, I think, is a great chapter that really describes what happens when we try to make God in our own image.
Yeah.
And I think that there's hints and there's parts of that. And I think that's maybe lesson number whatever in the tragedy of when you forget God. You use God, because again, Micah is hiring this Levite to basically be his personal priest. Again, it'll carry over into the next chapter. And what we find is that Micah is using God rather than worshiping him. And I think that is the essence of, you know, what happens when you talked about the seeking part, when there's a lack of seeking after God. It's going to create a longing that leads us actually to destruction and not to ultimately worship. And I think what we see in chapter 17 is it's almost a false religion. And when you have a false religion and a false worship, you actually don't seek to worship God. You seek to control him.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what's happening in chapter 17. Because true faith surrenders to God. And there's really none of that in chapter 17. And I think, and we can get into the other chapters soon, but like when you look at the last five chapters, there's really no mention of God or the Lord. So
it's
slowly getting further and further away.
Like forgotten from the pages.
Absolutely. And so if the darkest of Judges is chapter 17, it's just the beginning. And it starts with when there's an absence and we don't fulfill that longing in a righteous way, we make God in our own image and we seek to control him. And in essence, that's what Micah is doing here.
Yeah. I mean, Amanda, you said, you know, that they weren't worshiping God, so they were had to worship something. And, like, I mean, we've talked about that in past episodes and just past conversations. That, like, we're made to worship.
Yeah.
And so if we're not aligning, directing our worship in the right direction, we're going to find something else to worship, whether we craft it ourselves or whether it calls lights our eye.
Or whether it is ourselves.
Or whether it is ourselves.
Right?
Exactly.
Yep.
But, like, we are always worshiping something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what Micah's doing in chapter 17. He's assuming here that this God exists to serve him. And then if Micah does the right things, this God is now obligated to serve him.
It's funny because he's modeling this worship after God's law.
Yes.
Like in this, like, I'm taking, it's that like truth adjacent thing that
it's
we talk
like
about.
Pretend. It's it like he's
looks,
playing.
It might look like this, but it's completely outside of the boundaries that God has set.
Yep.
And so I'm going to do air quote worship, and I'm going to have my little ephod and my priest and my household idol.
Yep.
I'm going to sort of mirror what's happening there, but in a way that is like completely outside of what God has clearly prescribed.
And this is what happens. This is the answer to when the second commandment is broken.
Yeah.
So in a way, Judges, I think, is the contrast. It tells us that the book of Deuteronomy was serious.
Yeah.
And it was for real.
Yeah.
And the laws were for our benefit and for our freedom, especially for God's people.
That's right.
But they didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
And so we see what happens in lieu of that, starting in chapter 17, to the people of God. So the question is, like, what kind of relationship with God are the people of God seeking?
Mm-hmm.
And the question I'm asking is, what kind of relationship with God am I seeking?
Yeah.
To always be blessed or to want to bless him?
Mm-hmm.
That he exists to serve me or that I want to serve him.
Right. Because you're right.
That's good, Tony.
For Micah, it's like a means to an end. I mean, even when he invites the Levite to come and stay with them and be the priest, like, okay, well, this is more legitimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse 12, it says, Micah consecrated the Levite. Never mind that Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in Micah's house. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me because a Levite has become my priest.
Yes.
So that's, I need to secure goodness for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And not look to the Lord's goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the whatever seems right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
Like he's just, we're so far removed now that there's not like a true north. Like there's no compass. It's just everybody is. I mean, you just picture a compass just like,
spinning.
You know, spinning wildly. It's like that's what's
looking for.
Where are they going? They don't know.
Yep.
They don't know.
Yep.
But I appreciate, Tony, that you were like, but ask, what's the question to ask ourselves here? Like we can see this as a narrative, as a descriptive narrative, and all right, like, Lord, help convict me, convict my heart here. Like, where am I doing what Micah did?
100%. Yeah, we're created in his image, but yet we turn that around and then we make God in our image. And it gets this distorted worship.
Let this be a cautionary tale.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it gets darker. We just like, as we keep going, you know, into chapter 18 with the tribe of Dan, his invasion, his idolatry, and onward, I just kept writing in my margins, like, they're not seeking the Lord. Like, none of this is coming from the Lord's command.
Yeah.
And they're just forgetting.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're forgetting. And I think as we start to turn the pages towards the very end of the book of Judges, we begin to see that the book of Judges is kind of a love story in reverse, in the sense that God's people, because of their lack of seeking, like you mentioned, Rachel, the Israelites are growing colder and colder and further from the path of blessing. So it's a love story in reverse. And it's kind of like going into a basement and you have one set of stairs and it's dark and then it gets... there's another set and it gets darker and darker.
Mm-hmm.
And this just becomes the storyline of the beginning of really what most of the Old Testament is that there's seeking and then they stop and they pause and then there's idols. And this really, I think, is the beginning. Judges is the turning of, I think, a new chapter in the story of God that will ultimately set the stage for the final triumph. But
So I noticed chapter 18,
kind
of narratively, what's happening is like, well, we know in 17, you know, Micah hired this Levite. He had his son as his priest, and he like hired a contractor. He's like, I'd like this Levite to now be my priest. And then you know, I think the tribe of Dan comes along and they're like, actually, we see this priest who seems to be doing a great job at Micah's house. We'd like to poach you.
Yep.
Come be our priest.
Yeah.
And so they say in verse 19, they told him, be quiet, keep your mouth shut, come with us and be a father and a priest to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better for you to be the priest of a house of one person or for you to be the priest for a tribe and a family in Israel? Like, that's like a promotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the priest was pleased and took the ephod, household idols, and carved image and went. So he stole all of these things. And went with the people and so on. And I just like, even in that, you're just going like religion. It's religion, it's religion, it's religion. And it has nothing to do with, it's religion void of God.
That's it. Yeah.
Like, come be religion for us.
Mm-hmm.
Bless them. And then I do appreciate that we get to read from Psalm 78.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a comforting chapter, but it's sort of a, just like this acknowledgement. They rebelliously tested the Most High God, for they did not keep his decrees. The treacherously turned away like their ancestors. They became warped like a faulty bow. I thought it was really interesting to read the story put to song of what happened with the people of Israel.
Yeah. And to be reminded of God is absent.
Yeah.
The narrative, because they are not at all oriented to him, but he's not absent. Like, he is like what his posture is toward this. And it, like, I need to, when I'm reading Judges, I need to read Psalm 78, 58. They enraged him with their high places and provoked his jealousy with their carved images.
That's right.
God heard and became furious. He completely rejected Israel. Mm. He abandoned it. And we know that that rejection is not total. It is not forever.
Right.
But like, I need the God, I need Yahweh to be enraged at the injustice and the evil. I mean, because the stuff that we, there's no other way to put it. The stuff that we read about in this last, these last several chapters of Judges is, it's just evil.
Yeah.
Like, dark doesn't feel like a big enough word.
No.
Broken doesn't feel, it's just, it gets so bad, like, I don't want to read it.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Elise said last week, she just said, like, if this wasn't in the Bible, believers wouldn't have this story in their home.
Mm.
Like, there are some things that get so dark where you're just like, this is inappropriate literature.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're not doing this one in Unflannelgraph in kids', kids' ministry.
No, we're not.
I think, too, in chapter 18, the tribe of Dan is just like Micah, where they have this...
Yeah.
Almost this idolatrous view of using God... And chapter 18 tells us that ultimately, in the end, that self, man-made religion will always, always disappoint.
And destroy.
Right.
And it also reminds us too, yes, and destroy. That's a great word. But it also reminds all of us, for those who are following after Jesus and those who are maybe disconnected, we're all worshipers.
Yep.
We are all worshipers. It's just a matter of who are we worshiping and what is the posture of our heart in our worship.
That's right. That's right.
I want to read. I know that I don't want to spend too much time on the supplementals, but we talked last week about how we just really kind of clung to the supplemental passages as we were reading through the book of Judges, because, you know, it reminds us. It doesn't tie a bow anywhere, but it reminds us of Jesus, which I need reminding.
Yeah.
But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for you know that you were redeemed from your empty ways of life, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb.
And verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. He was foreknown even while Judges was happening.
That's right. He was foreknown before the events of the book of Judges.
I mean, I appreciated last week when we read, I think it's from Hebrews 10, just as it described the gravity of sin, like the dark wages of sin that are death, and the gift of God that is eternal life, which I know I'm quoting Romans as I'm talking about Hebrews 10, but you'll see it there too, because the gospel is everywhere.
Yes.
But just that, I think that as we read these dark, dark, dark pages, it just makes us so grateful for the gift that has been given and secured, that grace.
Amen.
Hey friends, pausing this conversation to tell you about one of our podcast sponsors, Hiya. Now, it's no secret that typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, right? They're filled with tons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy junk that your kids just don't need. That is why Hiya was created. It is the pediatrician-approved, superpowered, chewable vitamin. It has 12 organic fruits and vegetables, 15 essential vitamins and minerals, and Hiya has zero sugar. It's vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, all the things you want in a children's vitamin. And somehow, kids still love it. And I have to tell you, so do all the moms with young kids here at the She Reads Truth office. So if you want to see if Hiya is right for your family, we have a special deal just for you where you can get 50% off your first order. Just go to HiyaHealth.com/truth. Your first order will arrive with a super cute bottle that your kids can decorate with stickers, and then each month's supply of vitamins will arrive right at your door. You don't even have to think about it. This deal is not available on the regular website, so be sure to go to Hiya Health, that's HiyaHealth.com/truth, and claim your discount and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. I just feel like I want to just look across the table, yes, and go, Tony, help. Like, yeah, this, help pastor us through this. Because, I mean, so 19, 20, and 21, the last three chapters, mm-hmm, are...
I mean, a genuine trigger warning.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I wrote on my, mm-hmm, page, trauma warning. Like, yeah, this is not a PG text.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there were times, like, it is so bad that I forgot that I was reading about the people of God.
Mm.
Because, yeah, there's no, they don't resemble,
no,
the people of God.
But the people of Nineveh.
This is not, I mean, am I reading correctly that we're really at this point with Benjamin, we're now, there's infighting. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not like the people they were called to conquer and push out. This is how we are behaving, yeah, as a people of
it's
God.
It's pretty much gotten to a civil war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point. And it does. It comes with a warning label. When you turn to chapter 19, mm-hmm, there's a warning label. And some of the most strangest and scandalous and dark, desolate, despairing of chapters, mm-hmm, is right here. But again, this is the sad, inevitable reality and result. What happens when we cast off rule?
Mm-hmm.
The rule of God and the reign of God in our life. There's a lot here.
Yeah, there is.
In chapter 19. I don't want to get too far ahead, but I actually think this actually, in a very unique way, points us to hope.
Please.
We want to go there?
Yeah.
Let's do. So the question that I think we often should ask is, where is Jesus in the text, or where, yes, is Jesus in this chapter, or where, mm-hmm, is Jesus in this book? And it can be hard, mm-hmm, to find, you know, where is Jesus in Judges? Or how does Judges point to Jesus? And so I will say that the true Jesus moment in Judges is the absence of one, that there is an absence of that. And we see a couple different times, and we'll see it in chapter 19, is there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I think that's probably a verse that would be the theme verse of the book of Judges.
That's right.
And so in chapter 19, there's this incredible, terrible story of this Levite, mm-hmm, who has a concubine, which in that time was basically a second-class wife, so to speak. And so he's in this town square in the tribe of Benjamin, and to just use this word, they try to enforce themselves on, mm-hmm, him, mm-hmm, in a very inappropriate way. And so what he does, and this is how dark it's gotten, instead of him going out because they're calling him out to the square, he sends his wife, his concubine, outside,
mm-hmm,
so that they can take advantage of her,
mm-hmm,
abuse her emotionally, sexually, physically. And so what they end up doing, they send her out and they end up doing those things to her, and then they end up killing her. And so when the husband finds her dead, the next morning he goes out. And this is in the Bible, but he cuts her into pieces and he sends pieces of her out to the other 12 tribes. And essentially is like, look at all the horrible
happening.
Things that have been done.
Yeah.
Many layers of...
Mm-hmm. Right.
So many, yeah, layers.
And so all the other tribes go to war and they're warring against Benjamin. But this Levite, this man, never mentions how he sacrificed his own wife to save his own life. Mm-hmm. And so it's a terrible ending. And we come to that verse. We come to the reality where it's like, look how bad things are. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when we don't have a king. But what we know is that even after God gives them a king, there still is an absence.
It's still a human king.
Of the true king.
Yeah.
And so let me say this, that when you read Judges, and when you read a chapter like chapter 19, it's going to beckon the question, why is this story in the Bible? If we read chapter 19 by itself, and if we read the book of Judges by itself, without having the narrative and God's word in mind, I think it can do damage to our souls. And so there's a need for a deliverer. After you get through all of the first maybe 16 chapters, you don't really see another judge from 17 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates this longing that these judges were good and bad and not really. And so we need an ultimate deliverer. That's who the judges were.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to our spiritual formation, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I think we have to go there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have to go to some of those dark places in the Word of God to truly appreciate the illumination of the light, the saving light of Jesus that comes into our life in the midst of our own personal darkness, in the midst of the darkness in the world.
Right.
Because the reality is, you guys, at some point before Jesus, in a way, there was a strand of a Judges 19 heart in us.
That's right.
That darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and like Amanda, you pointed out, this is Israel.
Yep.
This is Benjamin. Like what we know of Benjamin from Genesis.
Little Benjamin.
Little sweet, like the 12th son of Jacob. And like it was this whole thing where like he got to be reunited with his big brother Joseph in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And like what a beautiful story. What man intended for evil,
that's right,
God intended for good, right?
Yeah.
And we get, you know, hundreds of years later into this part of Benjamin's tribe, and this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And we still know that God intends good.
Mm-hmm.
And I said at the beginning of this episode, and I'll say it again, like I'm grateful that this exists as proof text that God still takes terrible and intends it for good.
Yep.
Because this kind of terrible, unfortunately, didn't stay in the Old Testament.
No, I mean, it exists. Like this, I was talking with some friends about just even just the part of the world, and more specifically, like the part of Tennessee that we live in. And we were having lunch together and we were like talking about our kids and how, you know, that our kids can grow up thinking like, you know, this is what the world is like.
Mm-hmm.
When like really like this is, it's very different. And I don't mean to say that like, well, this little part of the planet that we live on is just this beautiful little bubble, but they are sheltered from a lot of like really graphically egregious acts of evil.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's still evil and brokenness and darkness for sure all around us and within us. But the thing that makes me teary about the way that you really graciously walked us through that story, Tony, is that the Jesus, the perfect king, the perfect husband, the one who took God's wrath for all of our evil, right, onto himself. He is the God of the Old Testament. You know, like he is the same Trinitarian God that we are reading about, who is pursuing his people and who is saying, like, it is certainly not because of your character or your virtue or your obedience that I continued generation after generation, judge after judge, heinous act after heinous act to pursue you. It is my faithfulness and it is my covenant and it is my promise to you.
That's right.
And so to take that kind of whole Bible look at what is happening, I'm really grateful for, because if these chapters were not in the Bible, I mean, the problem is that these chapters are in the world, and we need to know what God thinks about that.
Absolutely.
When we get to see, even like at the end of chapter 19, we were kind of, as a community, we read from Jeremiah chapter 8. Because, like, if you're asking, like, what does God say about chapters like this? In Jeremiah, the lament over Judah, verse 18, my joy has flown away. Grief has settled on me. My heart is sick. Listen, the cry of my dear people from a faraway land Is the Lord no longer in Zion, her king not within her? Why have they angered me with their carved images, with their worthless foreign idols? Harvest has passed, summer has ended, but we have not been saved. I am broken by the brokenness of my dear people. I mourn. Horror has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? So why has the healing of my dear people not come about? That's what God has to say.
So painful.
That's what Scripture has to say.
Yep.
It's lament.
It is. And I think when we read Judges 19, and I shared this earlier, we can be very averse to mourning and lament and grief. But you're reading from Jeremiah, and we've read through the Psalms, that one-third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. They're mourning, they're grieving. And I think this is a part of creating that longing within us for joy, for fulfillment, for deliverance. I think, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, Judges 19 is probably as dark as it gets. I have a note in my margin here that in Judges 19, one of the interesting observations is that unlike any other of the other subjects in Judges chapter 1 through 18, any other section, it doesn't actually name by name the characters, just says a certain Levite. So there's kind of this anonymity to chapter 19 that's suggesting that that's how far the men and women, they almost kind of became their own type of humans, type of people in chapter 19. There's this kind of anonymity to the chapter because that's how they were living, which again, I think this is continually pointing us back to the reality of being created in the image. As you were sharing, Amanda, there's this tension, I think that's all throughout the book. There's a lot of these tensions, but in Judges chapter 2, just to go back really quick, in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, it says, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you into the land that I swore to give to your father. So this is God speaking. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. And then it says, but you have not obeyed my voice. And so the question is, will God unconditionally love the people even though they've disobeyed God? Or will he disavow them? And is the covenant that God made with Israel conditional or unconditional? And the book of Judges never really resolves that tension. And it's actually not really resolved throughout the rest of the Old Testament. And it's never answered until we get to the cross. And so Judges, in a way, seems like this deep, dark setback, but it really is the setup. And it starts right here in the book of Judges, and it actually points to grace.
That's right.
So there's this hinge at the very end of chapter 19 that, for the follower of Jesus, that we draw hope from. It should be the anchor that tethers us and tethers our hope.
I think God is so kind in that, while what you just said is exactly right and exactly true, that like this was going to be perfectly addressed in Christ and perfectly answered in Christ, that he didn't make the people of Israel wait all the way. In one hand, yes. On the other hand, you close the book of Judges and the first words, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1, during the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land, .. And it goes on and talks about Bethlehem and Naomi and Ruth. And for those of us who are readers of Scripture, we know what happens there. We get right after the book of Judges to a Moabitess, not a person of Israel. Like what happens in Joshua is like, we've conquered the land, like serve no one but me, only reflect me to the outside world. And in Judges, we get everyone reflecting the outside world back into themselves to the point where they're indistinguishable from the outside world, from the non-people of Israel.
Yes.
And then in Ruth, God uses a Moabitess.
I love that.
To go, no, you serve the one true God. Like, I serve your God. Get back, right? Like, come on back to it. Yes. And we get like this like really good, really beautiful redeemer moment with Boaz. Yep. And I mean, and it goes from there. And from that lineage is King David. And then from that lineage continues to King Jesus.
That's so good.
And so we do get the answer in the New Testament. We do get Jesus.
Yeah.
But God is so kind to send these little redemption, like,
100%.
Foretastes.
I love, Rachel, I love that, because this is why the book of Judges does not exist by itself.
Yes.
And so chronologically, Ruth actually runs parallel with the book of Judges. And so you have a chapter 19, but then you have the beginning of a Ruth chapter 1 and chapter 2, that there's this other narrative that's happening as the book of Judges is being written. And so as you said, Rachel, there's a woman who is not an Israelite. She was a widow. She was a foreigner. She was as low as you can possibly go on the Israelite
totem pole.
Didn't have children. But unlike the Jews, unlike God's people in Judges chapter 17 through 21, all through the book, she, this woman, Ruth, trusts in God in the face of impossible odds. And where Judges ends in despair, Ruth begins this way. Like you said, in the days when the judges ruled. And again, it's going to point to the you fast forward just to the end of Ruth chapter 4. It now begins that genealogy of who is it? David. David. And Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. That's how Ruth ends, who ultimately, who had a son, who had a son, who had a son. Who ultimately was Jesus. So they're written in parallel. And we see where Israel fails. We see this other story, this other narrative where a savior would be birthed from this outcast in the book of Ruth.
I mean, thanks be to God.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I didn't expect for the overwhelming emotion for me to feel at the end of our last episode of our Judges series to be gratitude, but I think that is what I'm assessing live here on air. What am I feeling right now? Because I feel really emotional, and I'm looking at Romans 2, which I think we read on Thursday, where, you know, Paul is talking about God's judgment, and he says in verse 4, "Or do you despise the riches of God's kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" And this is in the context of talking about, like, having a hardened and unrepentant heart. But that's what I feel right now. I feel that, I mean, the gift of Scripture as a whole and the gift of this book of Judges for me personally right now, if we start to... We look to Scripture to see who God is, right, and to learn about God, but we would be remiss to not also turn inward and say, like you did earlier, Tony, like, well, then what is this? What am I doing in this? What? Where do I see myself and my need for Jesus? And it just feels like such a kindness of the Lord, not only the kindness and that we see in the mercy that He displays, but also to have a record of that for us, that we might know Him and know His character and know that that covenant just would not be broken. And I mean, if it was going to be, that would have been the place, right? Like it just had, it had to have been. And it's just so kind, and that gives me that posture of, Lord, what am I even doing if I'm not... if I don't have a posture of worship to the one true God? Because like we said, we're worshiping something. Right? And to take this kindness that God is displaying on all these different levels and layers and allow that to gently yet firmly, you know, lead us to repentance and a life of obedience.
Tony, as we close the book of Judges, what are your closing thoughts?
There's a lot, and I
know you've got them.
I've got a lot. I have a lot of thoughts, and I think I would just, in summation, I would say that in the midst of, just in the midst of the Judges, just the book of Judges book that you guys have here, the tragedy of forgetting God, and it's these dark pages and some of the way that you guys illustrated this, I think, captures the essence of that book. And I would just encourage the readers, mothers, you know, grandparents, whoever might be on the receiving end of this as you're navigating the book of Judges, and you're feeling, as you just kind of shared, Amanda, just some of the emotion mm-hmm. of it, that it's okay to go there. And I think it should elicit something in us. And depending on where people are listening from, maybe you might feel like you're living in a Judges 17 through 21 story
yeah.
right now in a different degree. And can I just share a quote that I came across? G.K. Chesterton, the great writer and evangelist, he made this comment about fairy tales. And it made me think of how Judges ended. He said, "Fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons are real, but because they tell us that dragons can be defeated." And oftentimes, you know, as a father, you try to kind of protect and guard your family from certain obstacles and things of the world. And I think, you know, in this world that we live in, there might be dragons, there might be certain scenes that we see in the world. And I think it only points us to, if there are dragons, there's a dragon slayer. There is one in every story. There's a hero, there's a deliverer, there's a husband. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to lean into that with our hearts, with our souls, as we read all of the book of Judges, but in particular the last five chapters. And freedom is a good thing, but freedom with a responsibility is a God thing. Mm-hmm. And so freedom is a gift from God, but the enemy wants to use the temptation of that to live carefree and to live a life disconnected from God, forgetting him.
Yeah.
And so allegiance to Jesus and obedience is the way forward.
Love that. I think that as I wrap up, you know, this reading, this conversation, this series, one of the things that I also am walking away with is like, man, time spent reading scripture is time well spent.
Amen.
Even if it's a book or a chapter that feels like, ooh, I'd rather not do this one or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'm always grateful to have spent the time reading.
Yeah.
There's no skips for me. And I'm grateful for that.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, friends. Well, we are concluding this episode, concluding this series. Tony, I can't thank you enough for joining us and really pastoring us through this and really helping us see Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or our need for Jesus in the book of Judges. So thank you.
Absolutely. So good to spend this time with you guys. Was honored to be here. So
thank you. We are starting a new series next week, different from reading the book of Judges. It's a new series beginning next Monday called Give Thanks, and it's going to take us through the month of November. I'm really looking forward to this. It's definitely like a change of pace.
And now for something. A little different.
But it really is a biblical look at giving thanks in a variety of circumstances. And every day we'll kind of look at giving thanks in good things and hard things and all of the things, and what does scripture have to say about that? It is a series I love. We've never podcasted through it before, and I'm really excited to get to do that. And then y'all listening might know that following Give Thanks is Advent, starting December 3rd, which I'm extremely excited about. That, Amanda, is there anything that we need to know about Advent coming up?
There is something you need to know. You need to know that if you want to read Advent with us, you need to go order your books so that they can get to you in time.
Certainly, y'all already have your books, right?
Okay, but some people might not.
Some people might not.
Some of us like to wait until a little bit later, Rachel. But this week, if you go to the shop, that's shopshereadstruth.com, use the code ADVENT2023, and you'll get early access to free shipping on all things Advent.
Yes.
So there's no excuses.
Free shipping, podcast exclusive offer that expires November 11th.
So okay, that's a healthy amount of time.
It's a healthy amount of time, but listen,
5 days.
After that, you're on your own. All right, well, that truly is the end of our episode. Tony, thank you again for joining us. Friends listening, come back next week as we start week one of the Give Thanks series. But until next week, Tony, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.